Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. How we looking? Bill Michaels Show is on the air. I'm Bill Michaels. Radio Joe is across from me. Chuck is here. Everybody's here today. Hopefully you are having a fantastic day today. As the weather throughout much of the state of Wisconsin continues to look more like summer than it does fall, and I got to be honest with you, I'll take it because it's going to be a great weekend. Going to be a warm weekend up in Lambeau as well, but nevertheless, good weekend for baseball. Cubs fans are going to infiltrate town. Hopefully Brewers fans have bought up a lot of those tickets, but I know a lot of the hotels out by me are completely sold out. Completely sold out. As the Cubs fans are going to be coming north. So that does not make me feel good about going to my local Pick and Save or some of the local pubs in the area. A lot of people coming to town as well. I know that I've got friends coming up for the Cincinnati Bengals game, people that I grew up with. Got about 15 to 20 people that are coming. My dad is coming. I believe so anyway, but there's quite a few, a contingent of people coming up that have all gotten tickets. So it's going to be a busy, busy week and weekend in the state of Wisconsin. The Badgers off this weekend, then they're back at it, and they begin Big Ten play against Northwestern. But last night I sat there and watched Detroit. Now, Detroit, pretty good football team. Not elite, but I had said at the beginning of the season that there's some things to figure out with Detroit, because Detroit last year, I think it was 7, 8, 9 games, something like that they won in the last few minutes of ball games. And one of two things that you can take away from that. One is that they're just not good enough to really beat teams, and they're just barely hanging on, and they'll figure out ways to lose, or that made them more, that galvanized them more, and they figured out ways to win. And they're now figuring out ways to win. Last night, same thing. They ended up beating the Giants. The Giants aren't a very good football team. Eli Manning. Can anybody really put their thumb on Eli Manning? Eli Manning has two rings. And when you watch Eli Manning play, you think to yourself, how? How does Eli Manning have two rings when it's a quarterback-driven league? Eli Manning is, last night, 4th and 1. 4th and goal. From the one, and he watches the clock run out. How can you do that? I mean, Bob McAdoo, their head coach, former assistant with Mike McCarthy, I mean, he ripped him. He said, poor quarterback play. He had every right to rip him. He ripped him publicly. And then Eli Manning, and correct me if I'm wrong, but does he look like a 9-year-old just mad and wants to go home, wants to take his ball and go home? I mean, Peyton every now and then looked like that. Eli looks like that all the time. But Eli's been a Packer killer at Lambeau Field, specifically in the postseason. Obviously, when he had Plaxico Burress, man, those two were a deadly combination. He was a damn good quarterback. Sometimes the people around you can make you better, but Eli Manning, man, God. I will say this, Brandon Marshall with that big drop last night, if you were watching that ballgame, because I wanted to see what Detroit had. I was flipping back and forth between them and the Brewers. Brewers, nice win last night, man. 4 pitchers combined for a shutout. That was fantastic. And Brett Phillips with a big hose at the end of the game. That was fantastic. But I'm flipping back and forth, and I'm watching just to see what Detroit has. And I still can't figure Detroit out. I don't know if they're the team to beat right behind the Green Bay Packers, or if they're beating bad teams. I mean, Arizona came into Detroit, and they waxed them. They waxed them. And then they go into the Meadowlands, and I thought, okay, the Giants – you know, the trick to going into the Meadowlands is to get the crowd to turn on the team, to go ahead and start booing them. And boy, did they boo them at halftime. Holy mackerel. But I can't figure out Detroit just yet. I'm not ready to jump into the pond and say Detroit is that team, but boy, they sure look like it. They sure look like it. Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers, I guess the good news is that a lot of these guys are 50-50 as to whether or not they're going to play. They're not season-ending injuries or injuries that are going to keep them out of multiple games. But still, you've got a team that's banged up. And then you've got a team right now that you're questioning as to whether or not they're even on the same level as the Atlanta Falcons, even if they're healthy. Are they that team? And I think that's the question. Do you believe, even if the and I was talking about this, I had to drop my car off today. I was driving into work, and it started making a kind of a grinding noise. And it's been doing it a while. But anyway, I took it over to see my buddy Glenn over at Breaker Chevrolet. And so I get in there, and it's like a it's like an Algonquin round table. Everybody wants to know about the injuries and about this and that. And then they said, you know what? You were right. Because I said during the postgame show the other night that I didn't think the Packers at full strength were as fast, as athletic, as capable as what Atlanta puts out there. I looked at both of those teams, and Atlanta's got some speed, man. They've got some team speed. So anyway, long story short is the question, do you feel, even at full strength, that the Green Bay Packers are capable? Even at full strength, do you think the Green Bay Packers are on that same level? On that same athleticism level? That same playing field level as what the Atlanta Falcons are right now? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. That's on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. 855-830-8648. This portion of the program is being brought to you by Cousin Subs. Our good friends over there, they want to put you on the 50-yard line, Lambeau Field. That's right. Plush leather recliners. Kick back, relax, take it easy. And the only way to do it is simply by going to packers.com/best seats. And it's brought to you by Cousin Subs. That's packers.com/best seats. And you can fill out all the information, rules, regulations, everything right there. It's all brought to you by Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. Do you believe your Green Bay Packers are on the same level as what Atlanta is? 855-830-8648. Tony writes in Wendy's email inbox. Tony is a Vikings fan listening to us over in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And he says, great to hear you guys every day. I'd like to keep up on the enemy, as he has it in quotations. I think the Packers are a damn good football team. We're dealing with our own issues quarterbacking-wise, he has in parentheses, here again. And then he's got Sam Bradford ragdoll. He says, I think Detroit is going to be the team to beat. They look like they're more complete. Their defense is pretty solid. They've got a quarterback that's paid and happy, and he's finally starting to spread the ball around, not concentrating on one guy. He learned that last year. They are going to be a force to be reckoned with. You're going to be lucky to split with them. Your defense is still susceptible. We all know that. But Aaron Rodgers levels the playing field for everybody. He is the greatest of all time. That is from Tony. Tony, appreciate the email. Is this team on the same playing field, on the same level as Atlanta? And here's one other thing, and this is from Drew. Drew writes, Ted Thompson, this is too little, too late. He should be criticized. Now, he goes on and on about players that they should have picked up. So you're not giving Ted any credit for making the moves this year? You know, this team a couple of years ago was in an NFC championship game. This team last year was in an NFC championship game. They were decimated by injuries last year. So, in an NFC championship game, it's not like they went 9-7 and didn't make the postseason. They were in the NFC championship game with a group of players that were patchworked together. So how can you say he didn't do enough? That's what I don't understand. And then he's getting criticized because he made moves this year, and you're saying, yeah, but did Ted Thompson make moves this year? Did he push his chips to the middle of the table this year? Yes, but... Well, I should have done it in years past. Well, again, I go back to, and we dealt with this question a little bit last night. You've got seven guys in this team that are making double digits in the millions. Everybody wants to compare the Green Bay Packers to the Patriots, and the Patriots have three guys that are making double digits. You can't pay everybody. So I Tell me what you want and how to manage the cap in that particular sense. Because had Ted Thompson let Clay Matthews go before that last contract, you people would have went crazy. Which is why I'm glad we, as fans, aren't in charge of a team. You have to have a level-headed, smart, move forward, move like an iceberg, non-reactionary type of person moving a franchise forward. If you see a huge mistake, eliminate it. Change it. They've been able to do that. Otherwise, you try to coach up and stick with what you believe in. And they've been pretty successful in doing it. The only thing they have not been able to accomplish is multiple Super Bowls. And I agree with you on that. But I look at everything in a circumstance. I don't look at everything as a blanket, because you can't. They were poised to win in 2014. They blew it. That was their own fault. Last year, decimated by injuries. They were lucky to hang on. They didn't have the wherewithal to get there. We all knew it. And if they would have went to a Super Bowl, it would have been a damn miracle. Atlanta was clearly a better team. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Steve listening to us on the south side. Steve, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Bill.
Hey, Steve.
This is a subject that's dear to my heart. Now, the object of the picking up of the free agents is to improve the defense. Okay, what were the Packers last year? 25th, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where they want to get to is like 10th or 12th, something like that. To do that, you have to add starters. Thompson did make moves, and it should improve the defense, but only around the margins. The players that he added were all basically backups.
Ahmad Brooks wasn't a backup. Ahmad Brooks is out with a concussion. He's not a backup. Devon House was a backup. I agree, but he was a starter when he was here.
Right, but Ahmad Brooks, at this point in his career, they got him for to beef up veteran backup. Would you want Ahmad Brooks if Clay Matthews went down?
Mm-hmm.
You want Ahmad Brooks starting the next 15 games?
I wouldn't have a problem with it. He's been a guy that's given you 6.5 sacks per year the last few years, and he's been pretty durable.
Okay, to me, they got him for veteran backupship. What they needed is to add some starters, and best thing they can do now is start playing that King and that Jones kid.
Well, I would agree with you on Kevin King for the fact. Appreciate the phone call, because Kevin King, I think, has played, and Josh Jones eventually, I think, worked. He's, first of all, Josh Jones is not going to become a starter. He's not going to beat out Morgan Burnett or HaHa Clinton Dix for a safety position. He's not. Kevin King, if you're going to play him over Demaryius Randle, I don't have a problem with it. I think he proved that he's a guy that's an aggressive, good tackling. He's got a bigger frame, decent speed. I think Kevin King could work himself into a starting role almost immediately. You're going to see a lot more of him, I would assume.
Why not use Josh Jones, though, more in the nitro as an inside linebacker?
Yeah, you could use that, too. You could do that, too. I think they like Morgan Burnett because of the knowledge at that inside, because then Morgan Burnett can pick and choose his spots. But I wouldn't have a problem with it. I like both guys. But remember, we also liked HaHa Clinton Dix, but Quentin Rollins and Randle, their rookie year. They were terrific. So it's always that next jump when people get a book on you and they see what your tendencies are and such, and then you got to adjust.
I have something here from Hall of Fame running back Eric Dickerson that we'll get to on the other side.
Yeah, let's do that.
And it's going to make some Packers fans upset.
Stick around. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We're glad to have you. Good Tuesday to you. This portion of the program being brought to you by Quick Trip and our friends there. I want to remind you that they have the Packers tumblers that are on sale there now. Stop in and grab one. And then don't forget that they're a 24-ounce tumbler. Then don't forget that when the Packers get a win, you can go in there and get it refilled. Simple as that. $19.99 with any in-store purchase, and after every Packers win, bring the tumbler in for a free refill, whether it's coffee, cappuccino, hot chocolate, fountain drinks, all season long, available only at Quick Trips of Wisconsin. Stop in and check it out. So Eric Dickerson, as Joe alluded to, basically said that without Aaron Rodgers, the Packers are the worst team in football. The worst team in football. Now, I think that's a stretch. You're talking worse than the Cleveland Browns, really?
Worse than the New York Jets?
Worse than the New York Jets.
Worse than the Indianapolis Colts?
I don't think so. And that, put it this way, you're basically saying at that point then that because if it's all Aaron Rodgers, that makes Mike McCarthy one of the worst coaches out there as well. Or is he just talking about player personnel?
Well, I could see where he's coming from in the sense of NFC Championship game last year. I mean, the only reason why the Packers were in that situation was because of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but they had a few guys that made a few plays. You can't ignore that.
No, I understand that.
He should know better because it's the ultimate team sport.
Right. But they had injuries across the board on that Packers team last year in the playoffs. The only reason why they got as deep as they did was because Aaron Rodgers was on fire. But if you took Aaron Rodgers out of the equation right now, and assuming that everyone else is healthy on the Packers are not the worst team in the NFL. I still think they're probably a 6 or 7 win team, maybe 8 win team, depending on Brett Hundley being up for the challenge.
I look at this as far as being the worst team in football. No, Buffalo is up there. I think they're better than Miami. I think they're better than New York. Three of the teams in the AFC East. I think they're better than Cincinnati. I think they're better than Cleveland. I think they're better than Houston. I think they're better than Indianapolis. I think they're better than Jacksonville. I would say they're probably better than the Chargers. They're on the same par with the Denver Broncos. I think the Broncos defensively are probably better. Kansas City, I think, is an all-around team. Oakland, we all know that Oakland has had a resurgence. I think they're better than the Bears.
Well, there you go. You made your point. I mean, we're going through all these teams, and even without Aaron Rodgers, we still think the Packers could beat the majority of these teams.
I think that they're better than Chicago. I think that they would struggle with Detroit without Aaron Rodgers. I think they would struggle with Minnesota without Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Atlanta. Carolina is an enigma. I don't know what to make of Carolina as of yet, just yet. I think they're better than New Orleans. I think they're on the same par with Tampa Bay. I mean, if the Packers lost Aaron Rodgers for a significant portion of time, and you looked at the Green Bay Packers' schedule, okay, do you think Brett Hundley could beat the Bengals? I mean, think about it. Do you think the Green Bay Packers, without Aaron Rodgers, with Brett Hundley at the quarterback position, do you think they could beat Cincinnati? I do. Do you think they could beat the Bears? I do. The Cowboys? No. The Vikings? No. Not at Minnesota. The Saints? I think they'd go toe-to-toe with the Saints. I think the Lions could get them. I think they could still beat the Bears in Chicago. I think they would give the Ravens a run for their money. I don't know. Ravens are defensively are playing really, really well right now. I don't think it's necessarily that Flacco is just lighting it up because they're not blowing people out, but defensively they're shutting people down. Pittsburgh, no. Tampa Bay, I think they would be right there. I think they could beat Cleveland at Cleveland.
I think Tampa Bay would beat the Packers without Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I think Tampa Bay is extremely...
At Lambeau?
Sure. Absolutely, okay. Sure. I think Tampa Bay is extremely underrated. I'm drinking the Tampa Bay Buccaneer Kool-Aid.
Can't even come close to drinking that Kool-Aid because every damn year I do, they screw me like it's no tomorrow. I can't believe in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers until they win something.
I think Jameis Winston continues to improve as a quarterback. I think he's got weapons now to throw to. I think their defense has significantly improved. I think Tampa Bay would beat the Packers without Aaron Rodgers easily, whether they're playing in Tampa or they're playing at Lambeau. That's how I feel about that.
I think, put it this way, sitting here at 1-1, I think the Packers, without Aaron Rodgers, would end up with 7 wins in the season. If he were to go down today, I think they could end up with 7 wins
in the
season.
That's what I said, yeah. I think 6, 7, maybe 8 wins.
That does not make them the worst team in football.
Assuming everyone else is healthy on this Packers roster.
Correct.
Because right now, not everyone's healthy.
Correct.
But
I'm just thinking to myself, with what now, supposedly, with the weaponry they have, with George, and again, if everybody comes back healthy, you know, with Jordy, with Randall, with Devontae, with Geronimo, with Trevor Davis and Jeff Janis, and with, you know, Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks and Richard Rodgers and the four-headed monster that is the run game, and bringing back both your tackles, I think that this offense could still function. Are they going to be a 27-point-per-game output? No, I don't think so, not on average. But I still think they could average around 20, 25 points a game, somewhere in there, 21 maybe. I still think they could. Even if it's 19, I think just with the teams that they would be facing, Cincinnati, Chicago, New Orleans, Chicago again, the Ravens, who don't score a lot of points, but their defense is very good. I believe they could rip off six more wins. And defensively speaking, again, if everybody isn't banged up, and you have some of these guys we've been talking about in like, you know, a Kevin King who works his way into a starting role and becomes that guy, and then you start, you know, really mishmashing around a guy like Josh Jones into the mix when you've got Morgan Burnett moving down to a linebacking position, and, you know, then you get Montrevious Adams back and healthy, Ahmad Brooks back and healthy, and, you know, suddenly your defensive front looks much more, you know, daunting. Sure, why not? That wouldn't be that far-fetched. So to call them the worst team in football, it's a bold statement coming from a Hall of Famer. And that's the reason people are standing up and taking notice. But I also think it's an emotional, erroneous statement. I don't think they're the worst team in football. And we just went through the whole list of teams that are there. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. On the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. That's on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Give us a shout. We would love to hear from you. Do you think that the Packers, in the statement made by Eric Dickerson, is just a little over the top? I do. I think it's just an emotional statement. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. We would love to hear from you. Love to hear from you. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. Want to remind you, coming up on Thursday night, Bill Michaels Huddle back on the road again. We are going to be in Walker's Point, 2nd and National at Stenny's. So come on out and see us 6 to 8 this coming Thursday night. We will see you down there. Our guest is going to be Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. He's going to be there for the huddle. And we're going to be chatting with Mike Clemens as well, who's going to join us, because mainly not so much to hang out with me, but for the Bill Michaels garlic cheese bread and the best wings you're ever going to have. So come on down and join us for the huddle coming up this Thursday night. It's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Kind of getting into the Mike McCarthy deciphering machine when we come back. And also, I want your opinion. Do you think the Green Bay Packers and what Eric Dickerson said without Aaron Rodgers are the worst team in football? I do not. I think it's an erroneous statement. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Stay positive, Bill.
Program, we are so glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. We certainly appreciate it. Bill Michaels Show continues. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Neumel Medical Center. Neumel Medical Center, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin, beyond the borders as well. They have a location in Green Bay, one in Chicago, one also in Milwaukee. So if you've got the ED going on, they have a 98% success rate. 98% success rate. Low T treatments for better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina. They can help you out there. Or the all-in-one weight loss program, which has been fantastic. Got back on that when I finally got back from vacation. And I said yesterday I gained, I think it's like 5 pounds, 3 to 5 pounds over the last, I don't know, month. And so I'm kind of like, okay, back on the program. Here we go. Back to somewhat of a normal schedule now, so let's get back to it. So Neumel Medical Center, that's the place to go. Jumpstart the health and fitness program, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. The Mike McCarthy deciphering machine. First of all, he talks about the game against Atlanta. Here's what he had to say.
Offensively, you know, running the football, you'd like to have more attempts. You know, turnovers, defense, you know, the big plays was something that we really focused on going into the game. We didn't take care of that.
Couldn't do anything downfield. Basically, not enough time to do anything downfield if you really want to get into it. Focused on big plays. Didn't have enough time to get downfield. It's as simple as that. Couldn't do it. Then he went on to talk about the fundamentals. When you talk about standing out in film review and you're looking over that film and you're thinking to yourself, okay, what do we do right? What do we do wrong? As Mike McCarthy preaches all the time, it's all about fundamentals.
We have to do a better job. That's what we'll focus on. Obviously, a lot of injuries in the game. You have a chance to look at those individually, break those down, and just continue to learn and grow. A lot of people played in the game last night, so from that you gather experience. That'll definitely help us moving forward.
Numerous players played in the game, which means a lot of guys did stuff wrong. Not just the starters, but a lot of guys did stuff wrong last night. I get it. They have a lot of information that's still needed on all the guys that are banged up.
What kind of injury is it? Can they play with it? Playing two games on grass, that definitely factors into it. So, that's why you just need time right now. So it's going to affect the way you practice Wednesday. I think that's loud and clear. Coming off a Sunday night game usually does affect the way you practice on Wednesday. So, those are things I'm focused on.
Not telling you a damn thing about injuries. That's it. Not telling you anything about injuries. How's Randall? Well, there's a lot of things that we have to look at, whether they can or can't play, whether they can play at near 100% or 90%, and what they can and can't do, and what's going to be and not going to be helpful, and what? Well, we just wonder how Randall was doing.
I'm the wrong person to ask about injuries.
No. He's not telling you anything about injuries. Not a thing. Nothing. Nada. His team's tackling, or lack thereof.
Wasn't as good. I know the numbers were similar, but it was really the production that came off the missed tackles last night. And that was a focus, particularly with their action game and the deep crossing routes that they ran against us. It was important for us to play leverage and tackle to catch, and that's something that we need to improve on.
How the hell am I supposed to teach these guys to tackle when we're not allowed to hit in practice? Next question. That's it. We talked about it yesterday. I see one more guy launch himself without even really making an attempt to tackle, and we are going to make him the poster child for this program. We are going to have, hey, kids, don't tackle like, and then insert the name here. Twice in that ball game, two defensive players in the secondary, weak-ass corners, launched themselves, just threw themselves out there like rag dolls, like speed bumps, human speed bumps.
I hope he trips over me. I'm not going to put my arms out, though. I don't want to get hurt.
Who taught you how to tackle?
Here comes a big guy. I don't want to get hurt. I'm just gonna lay down here. Ooh. Okay, here I am laying here. He's going to run by. I'm going to trip him. Damn it, he leaped me. Okay, well, that didn't really work out too well, did it?
Complete nonsense.
It is. You can talk about fundamentals all you want, but when you got that crap out there, you're not going to stop anybody. Don't even talk about fundamentals till you get that to stop. And then when I see it, all I keep thinking to myself is, if this guy gets kicked in the head and ends up with a concussion, as bad as you feel about something like that, you can almost see it's like watching a car at 100 miles an hour down the road, knowing at the end of the road there's a barrier in the middle of the road, and you have to swerve left or right to miss it. But you know that the car is going to have a split second to make a decision. So you're watching it barrel down the road, and you know there's going to be an accident, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. That's what it's like watching a defensive back throw himself like a rag doll out in front of a ball carrier.
That is 7-9, okay?
Jeff Fisher thinks it sucks, and he doesn't even have a job. Mike McCarthy talks about the run defense that struggled mightily.
Really, comes down to the gap integrity, leverage football technique. I mean, things like that. It's just unfortunate, because I thought we did a very good job in week one, and we weren't as clean clearly last night. And that's what good defense does. You, for them to be able to stay balanced, run and pass, I mean, that was a big part of their success.
They beat us up front. That's it. clearly wasn't as good as when we played that weak Seattle line. Or you could even decipher it as, we're not as good as we thought we were. That's probably a better comment. That's probably
Hell yeah.
Thank you very much. That's probably more to the point. We're just not as good as we thought we were.
You can book that.
Thank you. Clearly, our gap protection and our gap responsibilities, and you can talk about it all you want, but the gap integrity, but you got beat up front. Just call it what it is. You got beat up front. Kevin King, he performed pretty well.
I thought he did good in his matchup opportunities. And, you know, he's a young man. He's had some injury things that he fought through in training camp. And he's definitely earned the opportunity to potentially play more.
Randall is sitting his butt down. Demarius Randall continues to disappoint. Kevin King grabs the opportunity and shines. Demarius Randall, I think it might have been Demarius Randall that launched himself at the ball carrier. He was one of the egregious members of the Ragdoll Club.
You think King matches up against A.J. Green coming up here on Sunday?
Good question. I don't know. I know the one thing that really bothered me is that you had Devon House taking one side of the field and Demarius Randall taking the other. And Devon House was the guy that a few years back was able to actually hang with and defend against Julio Jones. And why you chose to go in that direction to have, because clearly the minute they put Julio Jones on the same side as Demarius Randall, you knew where Matt Ryan was going. You knew where he was going, whether it was downfield, whether it was quick outs, or whether it was a crossing pattern over the top. You knew where he was going because he had the matchup he wanted. And we talked about this last night when we had Jeff Janis on the program. I'd asked Jeff Janis about Julio Jones. I said, do you watch him? For a big guy, and Julio Jones is not small. You know, you usually see guys that go to take a jab step and a cut or a quick crossing pattern or something like that where they'll run you off and then take a quick jab step and then off they go in the opposite direction. Usually those guys, it's kind of lumbering. It's kind of it's not a quick step. Julio Jones, I mean, he hits and plants and goes. It's like the best way I can describe it is if you've ever played air hockey and you hit the air hockey puck and it goes flying in one direction and hits the side of the wall and boom, shoots the other way. That's Julio Jones. That's the way he can run a route, man. He was a highlight reel yesterday. Watching the NFL Network, watching Fox Sports, watching NBC Sports, watching ESPN. When they kept showing that game Sunday night over and over again, he was a highlight reel the way that he runs a route.
You know, Mike Clemens, he made a great point when he came on the show yesterday. And I feel stupid for really not putting much thought into it going back into training camp. But you heard Mike Clemens' observations about how all the corners could not defend Jordy Nelson. Every time Aaron Rodgers would throw Jordy Nelson's way, no one would be able to stop him. That should have been a red flag there to say, if they can't stop Jordy Nelson and they know the playbook,
right?
How are they supposed to go up against A.J. Green or Julio Jones or Dez Bryant later this year? How are you supposed to do that?
Mm-hmm.
I feel dumb for not putting much thought into that.
Yeah. Well,
because it was the same nonsense we saw in the NFC Championship.
You know
game.
Why? Because we bought into what this team did against Seattle.
But see now?
Not anymore.
Seattle put up, what, 12 points against the 49ers
right.
on Sunday?
Right.
That offense is not good.
Nope. That's what I'm saying.
It's not good.
We bought into it because of what they did against Seattle. We thought, okay, they're markedly better. And it's just not the case. I think they're better. I don't think they're dramatically better, if that makes sense.
I think all this is going to hinge on Kevin King and what kind of season he has. Because if he can make up the production that Sam Shields left behind, that's a huge win for that Packers second.
He'll be very athletic and very good, but I don't even know about very good. I can't even predict that. All I'm saying is that I think he's better than Demarius Randall.
Agreed. He should be better than Demarius Randall.
That I will say. 855-830-8648. Mike McCarthy not worried about giving Kevin King too much right now.
Kevin King's snap total, I'm not concerned with. I think he's in a position where he's done a number of good things with his opportunities. So if anything, he's earned the right to potentially play more. Smooth, confident athlete, and he's getting healthy, and he looks comfortable out there.
Same as before, he's better than Randle. Same as before, better than Randle. Can't keep putting Demarius Randle out there if that's what you're going to get from him.
Not on the perimeter.
Nope.
No.
Can't do it.
It's either going to be Devon House going up against AJ Green, or it's going to be Kevin King. It's going to be one of those two guys. I mean, you could try Devon House first, and if AJ Green's blowing you up, then I say you throw Kevin King in there and see what he can do.
I just think that if you're going to go with Kevin King and Devon House, you've got a much more formidable set of corners out there than you do if Demarius Randle's on the field.
Look,
I
think the Packers are going to beat Cincinnati regardless of who's healthy and what's going on, because I think Cincinnati sucks.
Cincinnati's not a good football team.
Look, there's no excuses, Bill, and I'm going to be saying this all week. There's no excuses here. This Packers team should bounce back at home and beat Cincinnati. In fact, they should beat Cincinnati and Chicago in their next two games, and then let's get ready for the Dallas game. Because even though there were deficiencies in this game against Atlanta, they are far better than their next two opponents. So I think you can take some more risks. You want to put up Kevin King against AJ Green? Go for it. But I think this Packers team will bounce back. They will beat Cincinnati. I mean, for crying out loud, right? Cincinnati hasn't scored a touchdown yet this season?
Nope. They've been a bad football team. And Marvin Lewis, this is the last year of his contract. In essence, he's a kind of a lame duck coach right now.
How is he still in Cincinnati?
Because he's been a complete yes man and buys into that system that Mike Brown has put together. I've said for a long time, they are never going to go any further than maybe getting into the postseason with Mike Brown at the helm. Mike Brown is an absolute positive, terrible owner. And he's one of these guys that took over. We saw David Shula take over for his dad, and he's not his dad. Mike Brown is not his dad. Mike Brown is not Paul Brown. It's an embarrassment what that franchise, and that's their only business now, remember. That's the only business they have, which is the football team, where other owners have other businesses and they make money, and that money has then bought them a football team. That's not the way it is. I mean, the Browns, that is their business. So while every team is run like a business, they run it like a business that has to make a profit. So they've run it that way for a long time. I mean, it's for years, they were kind of an embarrassment as a joke, because when teams would be coming into Lambeau Field and you'd have all these scouts, you'll get 5-10 scouts from each team or from other teams that'll come in and sit up there and be scouting, the opponent. The Bengals, either one, don't send anybody, or send one person. It's a joke. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Welcome back to the program, Bill Michael Show on the air. We are glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a terrific day today. We so appreciate it. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk with Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. Brewers with a nice win last night, and four pitchers combined for a shutout. Brewers get a win in Pittsburgh, and all you have to do is keep your destiny in your own hands. By the time the Chicago Cubs come to town this weekend, really this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that series heating up. Brewers 3.5 games back right now. Just hang in there. Just control your own destiny. Brewers back at it tonight, taking on Pittsburgh. Meanwhile, the Cubs are playing on the road, taking on the Tampa Bay Rays this evening. So hopefully the Brewers gain themselves a game. Be great to be 2.5 games back by the time The Cubs come a calling. That would be fantastic. And like I said, the town is going to be a buzz. A lot of Chicago. I was trying to get a hotel room for some friends that are coming to town to take to watch the Cincinnati game that are going to Lambeau Field. I got a bunch of friends that are coming. And I've got a couple other friends in town that have friends coming to town for the game. And trying to find a hotel in this town has been tough. A lot of hotels, my normal go-to hotels, are sold out because it's all Cubs fans coming to town. So look for the infiltration of those from the land down under as the Cubs come a-calling. Let's go to Phil listening to us in Philadelphia. Phil, welcome to the program, man. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Bill?
What's happening? We got about a minute. Shoot.
Okay. I just wanted to agree with you on Kevin King. I thought he should have started the game on Sunday night. I think the defense has improved, but I think that they just had a bad scheme on Sunday night. What you saw was Demarius Randle get light up and Rollins get light up. But if they had started King and in the right place, if they put Devon House in the right place, I thought that they would have had a better chance to win that game. But I thought overall the defense played okay. They hung in there. I thought it was a lot better than what people thought.
I thought he hung in there pretty well. I think he's earned himself a little more playing time. Appreciate the phone call. I would agree with you. Now you got to see what he can do if he gets more and more starting time. I like his athleticism. He's got length. He's hard to throw over. So I'm thinking to myself at this point, why not? Why not? Adam McAlvey, Brewers.com and MLB.com. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Is the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!